Chapter 8. The Trick Up Her Sleeve. Before he burns his bridges, a man should learn to swim. Dior knelt on the floor of her cold cell, staring up at those words on the wall. They'd been carved there God knew how many years ago, probably by the hand of one long dead. "Wonder if he drowned," she whispered. The dungeons of Dunmergen were a dank and chill pit, carved deep below the chateau's foundations. Dior's cell was barely 5 foot at the square, a mouldy blanket for her bed and a bucket for her privy, and only a small slot in the banded ironwood door to let the light in. She had been dragged there at Lily's command, cursing as the thrall swords dumped her on the stone, the ancient's blood yet smeared on her lips. They locked her in, the gloom punctured by a single chemical globe in the stairwell. Once their footsteps had faded, she crawled over to the bucket in the corner and thrust her fingers down her throat, heaving up her bellyful, red and thick, gasping and spitting. She likely knew her efforts were futile, but still, she tried all the same. And when she was done retching, she gathered her breath, dragged her hair from her eyes. Rising to her feet, she stood in the center of her cell, and there, she began to dance. Not a jig, or a line, or a waltz. No, but the steps my brother had shown her. North wind stance. Front foot forward. Belly, chest, throat, repeat. She practiced with an invisible sword in her hand and fire in her eyes, hewing imaginary foes over and over, until her breath was burning and her skin sheened with sweat, and she had perhaps regained a tiny fraction of the control they had taken away. It was only after she stopped for a breather that she felt it, a soft tremor on her skin. Dior paused, uncertain, but dismissing the sensation as fancy, she took up Southwind stance and made ready to begin anew. And then she felt it again, unmistakable this time. Something was inside her shirt. It was too big for a flea, but Dior was ever afeard of rats, and Mother Maid only knew what other tiny horrors might call this dungeon home. She cursed as she felt the tremor again, ripping her grubby grey frock coat off her shoulders, swatting at the sensation, shrieking as she wrestled with her waistcoat. She dragged her travel-worn shirt over her head, and twisting toward the dim light, she spied it, nestled up the inside of her arm. A moth made of blood. It was pressed tight to her pale skin, no bigger than a thumbnail. It beat its tiny wings, delicate as snowflakes, and pretty as rose petals, and red as all life's ending. Dior's eyes widened, an incredulous whisper slipping her lips.
"Selene?"
"Ah." Jean-Francois smiled. "So we come to explanation at last. Here I was, wondering how you knew what had befallen the Grail since you parted. But you had never parted at all." The historian lifted his goblet in toast. "Santé, Mademoiselle Castille. Most ingenious." The last Liathe was still propped on her elbow, watching across the waters with hungry eyes. "Save your flattery for my brother, sinner. It means little to us."
"Little is more than nothing."
The historian smiled, toying with the knot of his cravat.
"And not so far from much. And one cannot help but note that you share Gabriel's penchant for drama, mademoiselle, saving this delightful morsel until now, rather than revealing it to me immediately. You and your brother are more alike than you realize. Careful, historian. You will hurt our feelings. Jean-Francois chuckled. You had been with her since Kernheim? The last Liathine nodded.
That small part of us, we.
But the flames had left little else, and thus we could only listen back then. Feel. It had taken weeks to reform the rest of ourselves enough to follow Dior's trail, to press our will upon that tiny fragment we had left her.
But now we reached out across the dark toward that sliver, that droplet, that tiny mote of us, and bid it beat bloody wings light as baby's breath upon her skin.
Tap. Oh, sweet Mother Maid, it's you!
Tap. Dior looked around her cell, furtive, a giddy smile twisting her lips. We could feel her pulse quicken under her skin, her flesh prickling beneath our tiny feet. Strange how so much can be learned by pressing so close, how much truth there is in the flesh. Standing on tiptoe to peer out the barred window, Dior could only see the cell opposite. She'd no clue who might overhear her speaking. And so she hunkered down in the corner, low and small as she could, whispering as if her very soul depended on it.
What the hell happened to you? Are you well?
We made no reply, save to patiently flutter those tiny wings. Tap, tap, tap.
You can't speak, right? All right.
She poured her lips, nodding.
But you can hear.
Tap.
One for we, two for non.
Tap.
Good. That's good.
She breathed, her pulse now all a gallop. A moment ago, she must have thought herself utterly lost and alone. But now, she was breathing quick, dragging a shaking hand through her hair.
Is there more of you? I saw you burning on the bridge, but...
She regarded our tiny moat, whispering,
Is this all that's left?
Tap, tap.
All right, good, good. Is the rest of you with Gabe?
Tap, tap. Her voice dropped then, edged with fear.
Do you know if he's alive?
Tap, tap.
Shit!
Biting her lip, the grail hung her head.
Shit!
Dior sat in the dark for a long and silent moment then, hands in fists, eyes shut tight. We knew not what she was thinking, but we guessed well enough.
All right, she finally whispered. The rest of you, then. Are you close?
Tap.
Can you get me the fuck out of here?
The span of 5 deep breaths passed in that dark, but Dior took not a single one. Tap. Tap, tap.
We and no.
She shook her head, eyes wild.
The hell does that mean?
We fluttered our tiny wings, Dior hissing in obvious frustration. We could not feel her mind, nor speak to her thoughts, as helpless as any other Voss to pierce her veil. But as she watched, that mote of us crawled over her skin, across and up and down her bare arm, deliberate, painstaking. It took a moment for the girl to see our game, but as we've said, this gutter snipe was no one's fool. And finally, she realized the pattern we trod formed letters. A crude method, agonizingly slow, no use for little more than a word or two. But that is what we gave her, spelled out on her skin at glacial pace by small red feet.
Hurt, she finally whispered. You're still hurt.
Tap.
Fuck my face.
Tap, tap. She slumped lower, frustration rising in her voice along with her fear.
These things are fucking crazed, Selene. They treat people like animals, like cattle, and they're feeding me blood. They want to know what I am, what I can do. If they thrall me, I'll have to tell them all of it. The Asana, Mother Marin, you, I have to get out of here. We turned a tiny circle on her arm, wings trembling. She sighed, ashen hair in her eyes as she hung her head. But you can't help me. Tap, 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 tap. Dior's body tensed as footsteps descended the stairs, harsh, familiar voices echoing on the dank walls. We crawled up her shoulder, her neck, settling in to watch from beneath the mop of her hair. She threw on her dirty shirt, her waistcoat, rising on tiptoe to peer out the barred slot just as a pair of hard emerald eyes loomed on the other side. "Enjoying your lodgings, Mouse?" Kiara asked. The girl flinched back, but made no reply, pulse thrumming beneath our tiny feet. "Lady Lily will gift you finer accommodation soon, if here," the wolf mother said. "Soft sheets, pretty dresses, a nice wee cushion for your tender knees. You should be honoured she's chosen you to serve her." "I don't serve anyone," the girl hissed. 2 nights hence you'll sing different." Kiara met her eyes, lips curling in a cruel smile. "Beware when the devil takes you under her wing, girl. It's warmer than you think." Dio scoffed. "You're fucking..." Tap, 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 tap.
"Where shall we put him, m'lady?"
a gruff voice asked.
"Yonder," Kiara said, nodding to the cell opposite. "Let him suffer the scent of her."
Dio watched through the slot as Joaquin and Dogshank dragged a still broken Aaron down the stairs. He wore only his leather breeches, but he'd been bathed and brushed, wrists and ankles bound in chains so thin we thought he must surely break them when he woke, until we saw they gleamed silver. Soraya waited nearby, her braids trailing down her back, and her skin the smooth grey of death. Joaquin's face was a mask, and though Dior sought his eyes, ever the hound boy kept them downturned. The two scorched, hauled Aaron into his cell, dumped him on the stone floor. Kiara's brow was dark, her voice a murmur as she looked at her brood son. "He caught his eye, my bonny boy. It seems Fortuna smiles on ye." "And thus, sister," Soraya said, "we brought great Nikita this prize, his pens refilled, a grandson of high blood, the Leon slain. The Black Heart will surely reward us." Kiara's heavy gloves creaked, one thumb rubbing at the top of her hand. "Not like he used to." Soraya rolled her eyes, her full lips pursed. As the younger vampire tapped at her throat, we saw the familiar glint of the golden vial strung about her neck.
"I've need of another draught, sister. I drank all I had when we took Avelin."
Kiara seemed to come back to herself then, nodding slow. "I'll speak to the Contessa, see what His Majesty has for us." The wolf mother turned to her thralls.
"There's meat needs sorting in the bailey. Go help that louse house, Petrick. We'll be along presently."
Joaquin met Dior's eyes, pity in his own. But then the hound boy was gone, up to the courtyard with his fellows to help sort the cattle that had once been his friends. Kiara was still staring at Aaron, eyes narrowed as she regarded the fallen capitaine in his cell. But with a final glance to Dior, the high blood turned and stalked up the stair. Soraya blew the grail a kiss, and then she too was gone, following in her older sister's wake. Dior sank down onto her mouldy blanket, knees under her chin. Making the sign of the wheel, she whispered a prayer for Isla and little Mila, and most of all, Baptiste, her palms clasped tight as she turned her eyes to heaven. But if he heard her, the Almighty gave her no sign. The dungeons of the Divok were quiet now,
and Dior clearly exhausted after so many miles and trials. She was still in deepest peril. Even our tiny eyes could see it plain. Absent-minded, she licked at the corner of her mouth, the Contessa's blood still smudged on her lips, copper sweet. Almost immediately, Dior realized what she was doing, spitting again and scrubbing her mouth on her sleeve. But still, as her tongue had touched that stain, we had felt her skin prickling, her pulse tripping a shade quicker. Despair. Dread. Delight. "I'm fucked," she whispered. A flutter on her skin, then, soft as moon's light. A simple touch in the dark, and she breathed deep, nodding, because even if she had never trod quite so close to hell as this, even hellfire is easier to bear with a friend at your side. And so, the Grail curled down on that cold stone and closed her eyes, seeking the strength she would find in sleep. But there was no sleep for us. Instead, once she was slumbering, we fluttered out from the shelter of the Grail's coat and took to the wing. Flitting up through the dark, quick and silent, intending to search every shadow in that keep, in that damned city, if we needed to. Despite the danger Dior was in, we could not help but see the providence in this, and the will of God himself at work here. We had been denied at Cairnheim by Genoa's final, terrible sin. But as I'd told my fool brother, other ancient of the Asana slumbered in eventide around the empire. Wise Oleander, below Augustine. And the eldest and most powerful of us, here, deep beneath Dun Mergen. Sure as iron to lodestone, as fated to fate, the Almighty had brought us right to her. All on earth, the work of his hand. All the work of his hand, in accord with his plan. And so, wings silent and eyes swift, we set out to find she who might help us. To unearth the resting place of mighty Marin, priori of the faithful, to wake the mother of monsters.